Townies came in, but they were comparatively later. They came in after we came up there. They had a lot of land out at Dewhurst. Grew a lot of pine trees. Webster built a house out of Dewhurst, but he was comparatively later addition. Lads, they were fairly early settlers. They were Dewhurst. I think they had an orchard there at one stage. Shanks was another fairly early settler out there. They had an orchard, and subsequently one of the sons had a sawmill. Trace them all out there. Mm. Anyhow, perhaps if you run through the names, I might be able to give you some.
Well, there's the Beckett.
Yes.
Well, do you know where they came from?
They came from Melbourne originally. He was the registrar at the university and quite a wealthy man. Unfortunately, he lost a lot of his money in the land boom. And there was a scandal at the university. Some chap who was in charge there embezzled a lot of money. And although old Beckett was in no way responsible, there was a public inquiry and he was cleared entirely of responsibility. He felt that responsible for it, and he resigned from the university. And at that stage they moved to Upper Beaconsfield. He would, was very much poorer, but he had a pension from the university. His daughters established a guest house up there. They had added to the building up there and established a guest house and planted an orchard. And lived there up to 10 or 12 years ago, the son and daughters, and they gradually died of old age. Next.
Oh, then it says Atkins.
No, I didn't know Atkins.
Alright. Brittingham?
No.
No. Brown?
I knew several Browns, but none that I recognise out of them.
Kerr?
No.
Christie?
No.
Collis?
I knew a Collis up there, but he was much later. I don't think he was the same one.
Cregan?
No.
Dale?
No.
Einsiedel?
The only Einsiedel I knew was later, and he was over at towards Lang Lang, Coldermead Way. But I don't, whether he came from up here originally, I couldn't say.
Then Fisher?
Yes, Fisher planted an orchard out Bergman Roadway. It's now owned by Pasks.
Right. Then it mentions the Glistmans.
Yeah.
Right.
The Glistman, the earliest Glistman there was, I think, one of the original settlers of Upper Beaconsfield.
Goffs,
yes. Well, I've mentioned them down in St. George's Road in the corner there.
Hamilton?
There were Hamiltons came in, but they took over Bunt's Orchard. That's another name. They were out Birdland Road. Bunt originally was manager of Tumut Valley Orchard, and he planted as a weekend job this orchard at Upper Beaconsfield, which he ultimately retired onto and ran for many years. It was afterwards taken over by Edward Hamilton.
Hollow?
No.
Jones? Captain David?
Jones, yes. He owned a property. It would be east of Dewhurst, really. What was known, I think, was the Back Run Orchard. I think that was Captain Jones' orchard. He was a very early settler.
Kerwin? The one who had the store.
Kerwin, no, that Nathan had the store and we were there. Oh. He probably had the store when it was behind the monument there.
Right. Lad?
Lads were out at Dewhurst. They were very early settlers there. There's a Lad Road out there now. The original Lad, I think, was dead when we went up there, but I think there were some daughters and possibly a son.
McLean?
Yes, they owned a place on the corner of the Quambie Road and the Upper Beaconsfield Road. There was a father alive and then two sisters.
Would that be Staverton or not?
Yes.
Staverton?
Yes.
Maclay?
No.
Noble?
Yes, Noble had the place now owned by Mrs. Fullerton. He also had the place, bought the paddock opposite, which was originally owned by the cattle king I mentioned earlier on. And he and his sons cleared and planted an orchard there. We subsequently had the place for a number of years. But the orchard was too small to be economical.
Radcliffe?
The only connection I can have with Radcliffe was there's a bridge across the Stony Creek out at the end of Foot Road, which was known as Radcliffe's Bridge. Whether he was the original owner of Wade's place, I couldn't say.
Reed?
No, not that Reed. I knew another Reed, but he was much later.
Oh, I can't say this one. Schlippelus or something.
Schlippelius.
Yeah.
Yes, they were early settlers. They were had a place down where the entrance to the Beacon Hills Golf Links is.
Oh, yeah. Shorthouse?
Yes, the shorthouse shown there is one of the sons of the original Mrs. Shorthouse. He was... The three brothers, as I mentioned before, Arthur William, who was boss, Shorthouse, Bert and Charlie. And Mrs. Shorthouse, of course, started the coach service up there.
Souter?
No.
Spivey?
Who?
Spivey?
No.
Thompson?
Thompsons were very early settlers up there. They had a place, I think they owned the land from the corner of Stony Creek Road and Albers Road back quite a distance on both sides of the road.
Is that the Thompson that's there now, his grandparents?
Yes, yes.
Oh, so yes. They've been there a long while.
They have been there a long while. It's Royce Thompson.
Yes. Well, that'd be four generations there, wouldn't it, if it was his grandparents, because he's got sons.
That's right, yes, it would be the fourth generation there.
Trinham?
Trinham. Yes, I got one wrong earlier when I mentioned Smith and Kerr's orchard. Trinham planted 40 acres of orchard there, which was subdivided into two lots and taken over by the Soldier Settlement Board. The nearer one run by Bruce Black. I think Black's owned both of them originally. But the nearer one was Smith's, and the one on the corner of Red Hill Road was Kerr's.
Tyler?
No.
Wheeler?
Oh. Yes, Tommy Wheeler was the local milkman up there. He owned a place on Sugarloaf Road. Afterwards owned by Gibbs, who rebuilt the house on it.
The Gibbs that are here now?
I don't know where they went to Berwick.
Oh, did they?
And the last one is Wilson.
Wilson, that would possibly be the Reverend James Wilson.
Yeah.
He was a congregational minister who came out here for his health and originally was at Beaconsfield. He lived there. He was a great naturalist, and he was the man who discovered the helmeted honeyeater on the Cardinia Creek originally. And he ultimately moved up to Elms Place in Upper Beaconsfield, where he conducted a small school. And there's one Mackley there, I think was mentioned somewhere.
Mm.
Mackley was a brother-in-law of Noble, and he built a house which is now owned by Connectneys up there.
Oh, yes.
Down...
Beckett Road.
It's off of Beckett Road, yes. Who moved the house where Burton's are now up there, Glen Leith it was originally. It was two houses moved from Melbourne and joined together. The original place of, they were gone when we came there, it's now owned by Harris's up there. Not Roy Harris, but another branch that's come in since.
The ones that have got the poultry farm.
Poultry farm, yes. That place was built by Crouch, who was a son-in-law of the Becketts. He married Estella Beckett, the eldest daughter.
All right, well, that's the end of the list. Do you know why any of the pioneers settled in Upper Beaconsfield? Do you know any of the reasons?
The original settlers went there as a holiday place to an extent. At Beckett's, it was a staging post. They had a holiday place at Gembrook, and Upper Beaconsfield was a staging place on the way to Gembrook, and ultimately they disposed of the Gembrook place and settled up there. And Goffs, Elms, and a number of others there, Holford, Professor Holford, they settled up there originally as a holiday place, and then at one stage there was a certain amount of gold mining up there, but it was very poor men's digging, I don't think anybody made much money out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Although some of the mines were worked, some mining was done up there within the last 25 years. Never very much. It was mainly confined to Haunted Gully. There was a rumour that that struck gold when they built the reservoir up there, but it was never confirmed. And as if the State Rivers had the place, of course, they couldn't do anything about it. Then, of course, apples became very popular, and they found that they did very well at Upper Beaconsfield, and they planted a lot of orchards, which brought a lot of people. A lot of people came in and planted orchards there. That was the main, there were over 300 acres of orchards around Upper Beaconsfield. But they're all pulled out now.
What did the pioneers achieve?
Well, mainly establishing a settlement. Originally had a telegraph station, which was what was called the Big House. That was the house on the top of the hill in Salisbury Road, owned now by Ballantyne's. And the telegraph line used to go up Telegraph Road, and that was the telegraph station there. It also at one time was a hotel that used, you could just see the tracery on one of the windows bar. That's, I think, all scrubbed out by now. Then they established, when the township became established, they established a post office in the township. And mainly the pioneers established the clearing of the land and the planting of orchards and the gradual establishment of a township.
Did any of the pioneers become rich due to their decision to settle in the area?
I don't think so. They made made money enough to retire on many of them, but I don't think any of them really became rich in that sense. They were more comfortably off. And, of course, with the advent of the Depression, of course, a lot of them just walked off their places.
You've already mentioned orchards, but did pioneers do anything else for a living?
There was a certain amount of timber milling, mainly in making fruit cases for the fruit, for the orchards. There was a timber mill on the Cardinia Creek, just at the bottom of the hill here, at one stage. But apart from that, there was practically nothing else done for living up there but the orchards.
What was life like for the pioneer?
Well, I suppose by present day standards it would be pretty dull. I mean, they would have concerts which unearthed quite a remarkable lot of talent in the local hall. The local hall was originally built by the original settlers who used the place as a holiday place. They were responsible for the building of the hall, mainly for the entertainment of their young folk. Then there were dancers there, and there was no radio, of course, television, of course, all that came much later. There was no electricity up there. There was, of course, a lot of horse riding, and they established a tennis club up there very early in the piece, with always a lot of tennis, and for the elderly ladies, croquet. Then they cleared the recreation reserve, and there used to be cricket there. I don't think they ever got to a football team, but there wasn't a great deal in the way of entertainment up there. Life was, I suppose, by present day standards, fairly dull.
Well, that's about the lot.